Hey, this is Chris Burns. Every week we go beyond the show to give you extended interviews, answer your questions, or even just dig deeper into a topic. Hey, if you're not getting our update, by the way, every day, just jump on dynamicmoney.com. You can get that update straight to your inbox, know exactly what's going on, but enjoy this episode of Beyond the Show. Debt is so different. And you know, the thing is different about debt than virtually anything else that we struggle with. It's that sometimes we feel like we are actively making progress. We're, you know, I meet with so many people who are sitting with credit card debt, and they tell me every single month they put extra money into it. And if you remember, when you were trained as a kid about mortgages, for instance, it was, look, hey, even if you can throw $50 a month extra towards your mortgage, look at all the interest you're going to save. And so we're in this mindset that if I can just do something, if I can just throw my tax refund out, if I can just throw a little bit of extra money from a paycheck towards it, maybe you're somebody who gets that extra paycheck a few times a year, then maybe that'll knock it out. And for some reason, every time you get the statement back, nothing has changed. Some of the callers to the show acknowledge this, just saying, we've had debt our entire married lives. We've had debt as long as I can remember, and we don't know why. We don't know how to get out of it. And that's because it's so very different, because the interest rates are so insanely high. I've talked about this before. We are sitting right now on the highest interest rates on credit card debt ever. And the reason for that is all those wonderful rewards. If maybe you're the person that loves the travel rewards or the cash back or whatever it is, paying for those rewards has meant credit card companies have jacked up interest rates. So even though we're sitting on the lowest interest rates ever on mortgages, somehow we're on the highest interest rates ever on credit card debt. And boy, isn't it interesting that our country is sitting in this place of unprecedented economic gain, and yet across the board, both personally and federally, we see the highest debt levels ever. What's going on? It was interesting talking with Russ Vogt earlier, who was the president's director, the acting director of the Office of Management and Budget for the White House, because one thing that he said that I think drives me a little bit crazy and drives a lot of people crazy at points is, well, you know what? We have a plan that in 15 years we're going to balance the budget. And I think all of us go, yeah, 15 years, yeah, right. Because we hear 15 years and immediately that translates into multiple administrations with multiple different priorities and multiple different Congresses. Is anything really existing that we can start now that 15 years from now Washington's going to stick with? But here's the problem. He has a really good point about the reality of change, that we wish change could be sudden, that we wish change could be immediate, and the actual reality of change is incremental slow growth, and that drives us a little bit crazy. And especially when we look at credit card debt, we said the new study showing that Americans now sitting on $930 billion of credit card debt. And we want to just snap our fingers and say, just let's just get rid of it. What do I do now? Do I just stop eating as much? I literally saw a Twitter post. Do I reuse my tea bags on a regular basis to get rid of the debt? Well, maybe those are all important things. Maybe you need to cut back. We had one caller who talked about, you know what? We had to dramatically change our lives, and we had to figure out the difference between needs and wants. And we had a lot of things that we thought were needs that we ended up realizing were not needs. Okay, fair enough. But often the answer is first and foremost being honest about where we are at here. And I know that from personal experience. I've talked about this a little bit before, but I will never forget. Before I ever got into the financial world, I was a youth pastor, and my wife became incredibly ill, and we were sitting on insane amounts of debt, and it felt hopeless. And if you've never felt that before, it is a crushing weight. It feels like you wake up in the morning, and there's a boulder sitting on your chest, and you don't know what to do with it. And again, especially when you start going, you know what, I'm going to throw money at it. Every extra cent we get, I'm going to put towards the debt. And then you get the next statement and realize the interest that you paid was higher than what you threw at it, and you're never going to get out of it. That is a hopeless feeling. And when we feel hopeless, you know where we move to? Isolation, avoidance. I just don't want to look at it. And so people come into my office and they say, I've never opened a statement. They bring in a stack of envelopes that they've got from 6 months of credit card statements. And they can't open them because it's terrifying. Because maybe part of the human psyche is just, if I just don't see it, I cannot deal with this. And that isolation only takes you to dangerous places. It only takes you to worse problems with debt. It only takes you towards a road that becomes harder and harder to recover from. The first step is acknowledging where you're at. How did we get here? And the thing is, it's funny, is a lot of you listening, nobody even knows you're here. Nobody knows. You go to neighborhood functions and you smile and you laugh and you have the drinks with friends and everything's normal. And if you want to go on vacation, by golly, you go on vacation. Because you got to live that lifestyle because everyone else around you is living that lifestyle. And nobody knows about the statement sitting at your house. Nobody knows how much of your money goes to interest every single month. And you don't want to admit that or deal with it or look at it. And I get that because, again, I've been there. You know what we had to do? I will never forget sitting. I was living in my in-laws' unfinished basement. You turn the toaster oven on, all the electricity would go down because it wasn't built to have any electricity down there. There weren't doors. My kids were sleeping in a room. It was unfinished. And it was gracious of my in-laws to let us stay there. But the point is, we had no easy way to get out of it. I was a youth pastor. My wife wasn't able to work at that point. And we just felt crushed by this debt. And what we had to do was reach out for help. And where we reached was a nonprofit that's been brought up. It's something that Clark Howard actually introduced. It used to be called something else. It's gone through four different names. And I want to be clear on this. You've got to be unbelievably careful because there are so many groups out there. They advertise regularly on every station I've heard, on TV, which are saying we can help you consolidate your debt and get out of debt. And they are for-profit groups and they're looking to take advantage of your situation. Please be careful about who you reach out to for help. But this group, they're currently under the name is ClearPoint, clearpoint.org, is a nonprofit that actually can sit and help you consolidate the debt and give you straight answers. But here's the deal. When I called them and told them our financial situation and laid it all out and exposed it all and said, here is where we're actually at, I felt hopeless at that point. And their first answer didn't make me feel much better. The lady on the other end of the line, the debt counselor, said, well, honestly, you probably should just declare bankruptcy. Because I don't think there's a way out. And I'll never forget sitting with that feeling of hopelessness. But then owning maybe for the first time how bad it was. That we didn't have an easy solution. And there wasn't an easy solution. You know how we got out? Month after month, living in that basement, making every payment. We consolidated the debt through this group. We made the payments and slowly saw that debt go away. But it took time and it took effort and it wasn't easy. But when we had a plan, that plan birthed for the first time in a long time, hope. Hope for change. Hope that we didn't have to sit in that debt and that it wasn't going to be the rest of our lives. And maybe right now the most important thing you need to hear is that there is actually hope here. I can't even begin to tell you the number of people I've sat down with that have walked in the door of our office going, we just don't know what to do. We can't get out of it. There's no way out of this credit card debt. And suddenly, just through talking with a third party that can look objectively at the situation and say, how can we bring to bear all of your financial world to trying to address this issue? Suddenly it births maybe not immediate change, but hope. Hope is powerful, friends. Hope is where we see the beginnings of actual, real, long-term growth in our lives. It doesn't come through just avoidance. It doesn't come through pretending like the issue is going to go away. It ain't going away. And here's the other thing. A lot of you are in debt because of things that are beyond your control. There is this stigma out there that if I say I'm in debt, people will assume it's because you went and bought a BMW or you went and got a bigger house than you should have, or you paid for the school you shouldn't have, or you got the flat screen TV. And that's certainly the case sometimes. There are plenty of people I've met with that go, holy cow, we made bad decisions. I have made bad decisions. I understand that. We should never have gotten this, but we did. Here we are. Okay, again, own where you're at. But there's just as many, if not more, people that I speak with that haven't done anything that we would say, wow, that's terrible that you did that. It's because of sickness. It's because of the unexpected. It's because of life happening and suddenly going, we don't have any other resources. And so that's why we are in this situation. What do we do to get out of it? And that stigma of shame is just this toxic combination, the debt and the shame. And then you add in phone calls if you're behind on the debt. So now people are harassing you as you're trying to work or as you're at home. And it just feels like there's just no way out. I had one person tell me, it's hard to fathom. One person that came into our office that was dealing with debt said, literally, this was a long time ago. When I say a long time, maybe 10 years ago, this happened to them before some of the laws we have now. But literally, this person was told by one of the harassing phone calls, a debt collector, hey, you know what? Honestly, if you committed suicide, there'd be enough of a benefit that your family, all the rest of the debt would go away. I actually told that. Now, that person, I'm sure, was fired. I hope was fired. But you'd be amazed by the abusive stories, because in the end, when a debt collector is calling you, all they care about is getting that money because it's taking them a step forward. They don't care about you. They don't care about your rights. They don't care about how you feel about the conversation. They just want the money. They don't care if it's not a good idea for you to give them the money that day, because guess what? Groceries are more important than your Visa card. Paying your rent or your mortgage is more important than Amex. But that debt collector might not care. Okay, so please hear this. If you are sitting in debt right now, the number one thing you can do is get outside of yourself and start talking with safe people. Maybe they're people at your church. Maybe they're people that you work with, that you trust. Maybe it's a financial planning group that actually can work with you. That's what we do with people. We have honest conversations. And often we refer people, again, to nonprofits like clearpoint.org that will have authentic conversations. By the way, they're not paying us something. They don't know we're talking about them. They just are an authentic, real group that can actually help you. But getting outside of yourself and actually getting advice and objective feedback, and just as many stories as I have of people that come in feeling hopeless, I can tell you stories of how that has changed in their lives. And it's not usually that suddenly they went to beans and rice and driving Uber and their wife drove Lyft and they had 18 jobs and finally they were able to make it out. You know what it normally is? It normally is just having an honest look at their expenses and starting to make significant, just starting to make changes. And sometimes they have to be sweeping changes. And you might know that about your life, but sometimes they don't. I mean, right now we're sitting in a situation, I've talked about it before, where you can leverage, if you have the resources from other parts of your life, you may be able to leverage other things you didn't even realize to get yourself out of this much faster than you think. Like, for instance, your house. I don't want to go into deep detail here because we've talked about it before, but with mortgage rates the lowest they've ever been, if you have equity in your house and you can refinance, do a cash out refinance and pay off that debt and now be carrying it as a 30-year, 3.5% mortgage, that's amazing. Or maybe you're the person that can stay on top of those 0% credit cards and go, you know what? I have enough good credit right now that I can transfer money over to the 0% card and now I have a clear plan for paying it off. We have to be careful because the 0% cards are built for you not to pay it off, and hopefully you don't in their case, because if you don't pay it off, they will then tack on insane amounts of interest. All right, but with guidance and with getting third-party help, there may really be options that you don't even know about right now. And some of you right now go, but I have horrible credit. My life is in shambles. I have no way of doing this. I have no clue how to, there's nothing else to leverage. At that point, that's where you go to the nonprofit and say, what are my options? And if I don't have any options, what's the next step? Because I'll tell you what the next step is not, sitting in it. Just sitting in it and feeling worse every single day will do nothing for you. If you're in a place where you need to declare bankruptcy, then that's what you need to do because you need to stand up and start moving forward again. I mean, holy cow, Dave Ramsey, who everybody looks at as his bastion of financial intelligence, will openly share his stories of failure and bankruptcy. It's not the end of the world to fail. But it's also, the reality is, so often we sit, and again, the shame and the overwhelmingness and the phone calls and the desire to hide and not be seen keeps us quiet when we don't know that there could be significant, real, actual help right around the corner, and hope can spring from that. So don't sit in it. Now let's talk about something a little bit more philosophical about this, but I think just as important, and that's the reality. Just a question that has to come into your mind. It certainly has come into mine. How is it that both our country and then us as individuals are at the point where we're seeing unbelievable economic prosperity right now. I mean, truly, I wouldn't be surprised if in 30, 40 years, we look back and go, can you remember that time? I mean, job numbers, the best they've ever been. Economic month over month growth, the best it's ever been. Longest bull market in history. Lowest unemployment. All these things that would point to, wow, we're in really good shape. And so, quote unquote, logically, we go, well, because we're in good shape, it should be the lowest credit card debt, right? Now we're all making money. We're all working. So we should be able to pay off the debt. And because we're in such good shape, now we can finally tackle these major issues the government is facing with mandatory spending programs, with entitlement programs. We can actually go after this and have meaningful conversations because we're sitting in a good place financially as a country, economically as a country. And the reality is somehow the exact opposite. That we're sitting in this place and we're seeing debt go through the roof. What's going on there? And it's not an isolated incident. Okay, because again, I mentioned this very briefly, but if you go back, the last time the highest debt we saw as a country before we just exceeded it, take a wild guess when that was, when consumer debt was at its highest, right before the crash in 2008. So this is not a new syndrome. And then that, by the way, I'm not being predictive here and saying, therefore, a crash is about to come. What I'm trying to say is, why is it that when things are going well, that's when we see consumer debt rise? And that goes to the way we think. That's why the field of behavioral economics is so fascinating to me, because it's not primarily about, can I make 8% in the market instead of 6% like we like to think it is? It's not primarily about, well, if I just made a better decision on investing. No, it's because of our behavior. Right? Our behavior is what drives us more than anything else. And so it's no surprise to me that the reality is, instead of it being what we would say, again, logically speaking, oh, well, I have a job, things are going well, so we should be able to pay down the debt now. It's kind of the classic Joseph story in the Bible of when they were in a really healthy, good period in Egypt. And so Joseph was able to give the advice of, let's build up these storehouses and we'll have all this grain in the storehouses, because when things are going to go bad, which he had the dream telling him there's going to be 7 years of really bad things and famine, then we'll have all this food stored. That is the logical progression, right? Things are good. We save up so that when things are bad, we're in good shape, except we don't. Do we? The numbers say we don't. Maybe some of you listening do, but the majority of us, we do the opposite. We go, things are good. Let's go have some fun. It's the 1920s in a nutshell, right? Things are going great. Wild parties, excessiveness, a lot of fun until the Great Depression, right? This has been repeated over and over and over again. And by the way, you can do nothing to change the reality of when the next recession is going to come. And you can do nothing to change what your neighbors or their friends choose to do, or how often they choose to swipe their credit cards. But by God, right now, you can say, I don't want to fall into that pattern again. I don't have to live that way. What's going on? If we don't fix this now when things are good, how bad's it going to get when things are not good? How bad's it going to get when I lose my job? How bad's it going to get when one of us becomes ill? And maybe that's why you're sitting in it now. I understand everybody has a story for why they're in the place they are in right now. I get that. But by and large, looking at a macro level across our culture, there has to be this sociological reality of, look, things are good, therefore we spend more. Things are good. And by the way, economically, the government's kind of banking on this. If we can get more money in people's pockets, they'll go out and spend more money. That blows up the economy. And so there is some truth in that. But maybe take a clue from businesses right now. One of the things that's been fascinating to look at in businesses is that we expected they were going to get all this money with the tax cuts. Well, they did. Okay, so businesses were the lion's share winners of the tax cuts. Let's be honest. Individuals won. Businesses really won. And I don't care what you think about that back or forth. We lowered the business tax rates dramatically. Now, the thought process is, therefore, businesses will have all this extra capital that they will then in turn go and invest. And they'll invest it in the business so they can make more widgets to sell. They'll invest it in other business, right? It's going to be more money flowing into the economy. And here was the confounding thing. A lot of businesses did invest some of that money, but guess what they did with the rest of it? They saved it because they're not stupid. Okay, people, large businesses that have lasted for a long time often are thinking beyond the next 2 to 3 to 5 years. And so instead of just taking all that extra capital and going, I guess that means we have more money to spend, they saved a lot of it. And that confounded a lot of economists. And there was a lot of frustration, a lot of people going, well, why aren't businesses investing more? That would only boost our economy. And maybe in the short term it would, but long term, friends, these businesses know that things happen like, oh, I don't know, the coronavirus. So if you're a tech company right now, And China is the number one exporter of tech goods in the world. If your phone wasn't made there, the parts for your phone probably were. The coronavirus sweeping through China, what does that do? That impacts manufacturing in China, specifically factories having to shut down for an unknown period of time. What does a business do if their supply chain suddenly drops? They can't change that in an instant. And they have the unknown of going, I don't know when the coronavirus, when this is going to recede. I don't know when we can open that factory again. I don't know if it's going to be the same afterwards. I don't know. Well, what do? You have reserves. You have liquidity. You have the ability to say, you know what? We'll figure out a new plan and we have enough cash on hand that we're not going to have to go under or lay off 3/4 of the company to make it happen. Let's take a look at private businesses and then look at our own lives. Are we doing this? Because they recognize that this kind of stuff's going to come up. So philosophically speaking, and again, I'm not saying it's easy and I'm not saying, oh, just flick that switch and make it okay. I'm saying right now is the time when things are good, when you can be working, when you can go out and get a job. It's the best job market in the history of our country. And maybe now is the time to really consider for you, how do we reverse this trend when things are good so that when things aren't good, we're still going to be okay? And by the way, that's one of the reasons, as much as it annoys people, that I harp so much on this concept of an emergency fund. Because when you have emergency savings, then basically what you're saying is it's more important for me that I have money sitting, even though I could be investing that money, even though I could be going out and buying something with that money. The fact that it exists means that I'm ready for the unexpected. I'm ready for it. And the exact reverse of that is going, you know what, things are good right now, so therefore let's go start doing all the things we've always wanted to do and let's put it on the Amex because we'll probably get a raise next year and pay it off anyway. It just doesn't work that way, does it? It's that classic question, how's that working out for you? Probably not great. It certainly isn't working out great for our country. And so here we sit, 2020, things still look good. We really don't know where it's going. We have no idea. We don't know what the next collapse is going to be. We don't know. It could be we have 5 more years of an amazing economy. It really doesn't matter. All that matters is this. If you're a person sitting there right now with significant debt that goes, I don't even know how I got here, or even if I can give an explanation, I certainly don't know how to get out. The first thing is just to own that, to not avoid it, to not go into isolation, and then to reach out for help into safe places where you can begin to make change. And I would argue this, if you're at a place where you can do it, if you're at a place where you have the income that you can actually look at this, right, to first focus on building that emergency savings. Because if this is a behavioral issue, which for most of us it is, it's about the dopamine rush we get when we go out and spend money. That's why our culture right now is at a place where we're having the most economic growth ever, and yet we're still spending more money than we've ever spent because we get a rush when we go out and do that. It's a behavioral issue for so many of us. And so if we can change that behavior by starting with building a consistent and sustainable emergency fund, then that means now we've developed the habits that allow us to attack the debt and see it never come back again. And what would it look like, whether it's 6 months from now, a year from now, 3 years from now, I don't know how long it will take, but what will it feel like when you can sit and go, I have security, I have funds sitting in the bank, and not only that, I no longer have those phone calls. The debt is gone, and it's never coming back because I've changed my behavior. The habits have changed. It's certainly something our government needs to look at. It's certainly something our culture in general needs to look at, but more importantly, it's something that you and I personally need to look at if we want to be healthy and we want to be okay long term. So let's start with being honest, and then let's begin to change those behaviors and the thought patterns that are creating this. Because it's not about, again, the money. It's about the behavior that's driving those, you know, just driving this reality. Hey, again, if you missed any part of the show, just remember that on our podcast, The Chris Burns Show, you can listen to both the show every Sunday as well as our Beyond the Show, where we dig into topics like this. And if you're not getting our daily update, my favorite thing I get to do every day is take a few minutes, write out a one-minute synopsis of what's going on in the world. I do it on the radio, but we also send it out as an email. You can get that just by going to dynamicmoney.com. Sign up for that daily update. Would love to stay in touch with you there. And friends, please remember this, that your life and your future are so much more than debt, so much more than phone calls, so much more than money. Have a great week.